May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 470. Death and the grave are doleful themes for sinful mortal worms to see, except a Saviour's brighter beams dispel the gloom and touch the string. Hymn 470. Is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 21. The Gospel according to John, chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdedst thyself, and walkedst whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to our souls and help his servant to pray.
Most kind and merciful Lord God, we need thee now, dear Lord, to rend the heavens and to come down. We may be favoured to feel and to know thy sweet presence. O Lord, one of old said, What is the house to me unless the master there I see? And O Lord, we do long and desire to see no man, as those dear disciples did on the Mount of Transfiguration, save Jesus only. And O Lord, we pray that thou wilt draw near, as thou didst to those that journeyed to Emmaus, that we may be favoured to feel thy presence as they did. For thou didst draw near and go with them. And oh, we pray that thou would abide with us this evening. For it is toward evening, dear Lord, the day is far spent. And oh, we pray that thou would come as thou didst to those dear souls of old, and abide with them. Oh, may we know in our hearts that sweet abiding of thy sweet presence. And oh, that thou wouldst shut the world out, and all the buyers and sellers and the things that would creep in to mar our worship. And oh, may we ever be under the sweet influence of thy blessed Holy Spirit. For thou hast said, Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And oh, we would seek that we might have that sweet liberty, Lord, as we venture at the throne of grace, to spread before thee all our desires, all our longings, all our concerns, all our burdens. Lord, we pray that we may know in our souls that sweet liberty from sin and from bondage and from unbelief. And oh, that we might know in the preaching of the word that sweet liberty of the Spirit. That thy word may have free course and be glorified. Oh, that there may be, dear Lord, the sweet application of thy precious word. And it may be life and power to our souls. And it may be food to the hungry and drink to the thirsty. And that those in deep need may have their needs supplied. And, O Lord, that burdened sinners may lose their load and downcast souls rejoice. And oh, may there be a real lifting up of those that are cast down. And Lord, that thy name may be honoured and glorified and praised this night. And oh, may we sweetly prove that it is no vain thing to serve the living God. Oh Lord, we come as sinners. We've nothing to bring, as the dear hymn writer said, nothing but sin I thee can give. But oh, may it please thee that nothing but love shall I receive. Oh, we would come in humble confession of our many, many sins, begging and pleading, Lord, for mercy, pleading to be washed and cleansed in that precious blood of Jesus. Oh, that we may be made white in the blood of the Lamb. And, oh, Lord, may each sin-sick soul have the sweet assurance from heaven that thou hast put away all their sins, that thou hast redeemed them, and that they are thine. And, O Lord, how we need that continual assurance from heaven, that we're in that narrow way, that thou hast chosen us ere time began, that we are purchased by thy own heart's blood. Oh, we do need real things, dear Lord, those real tokens for good. Oh, do make us real and make us right. Do save us from all fleshly religion and that which is of our carnal mind. For thou hast said, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Oh, may ever keep us, Lord, from trying to fathom out in our carnal minds thy wondrous works, thy dealings. But oh, we pray that we may be given grace to be submissive to thy mind and will in all things. And oh, that we might lie passive at thy feet and know no will but thine. Do keep us, Lord, from our rebellious heart. Oh, do save us from all rebelliousness. May we have a humble and a tender heart, a heart to truly fear thy holy name, and to seek thee and to serve thee. Lord, you grant us that singleness of eye, Lord, that eye of faith, that we may be ever looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And, O Lord, how we need thee to guide us in every step of the journey. And we would pray with the dear psalmist, guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. And, O Lord, to guide us in every step of providence and every step of grace. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt hold us up and hold us on. And knowest, O Lord, the many battles there are, the flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. The inward conflict and warfare thy people endure. But oh, we pray for all needed grace to be given, that we might walk humbly with our God. Who bless the dear children, dear Lord, and help them in their early days, the dear babes, the little ones, and those at school and college. We pray thou would help them, Lord, in early days to look to thee. Grant them thy tender filial fear, or do hear and answer the prayers of dear parents for them. Grant the dear parents that wisdom and help and strength to bring up their offspring in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And oh, do bless the Sabbath school, Lord, and thy word as it is lovingly set forth there. May it enter into the hearts of the young and abide in them, Lord. That in their days to come they may remember those truths they have been taught. And, O Lord, do preserve them and keep them from this world and all its snares and dangers. And may they be real followers of a meek and lowly Jesus. Who help the dear young people, Lord, in all their paths, guide them and those in education, those in work, do help them, Lord, in all their paths to look to thee. Provide God-fearing husbands, God-fearing wives, if it would please them. And oh, may there be raised up a seed that shall serve thee, and a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. Remember those that are in trouble and affliction, Lord, and many things to weigh them down. May they lean hard upon thee and build all their hopes upon thee. And may healing mercies and restoring mercies be given. And, O Lord, may they be enabled to stand still and to see the salvation of the Lord. And, oh, do help us, Lord, to endure to the end and grant us each that grace to endure. And may we be helped, Lord, to pray one for another and bear one another's burdens. Remember any that need thee may be in a special way. And oh, may upholding grace be given. Remember, dear Lord, our dear aged friends, so many throughout Zion that feel much the mud wall cottage shape. We pray that they may prove thy sweet promise that at evening time it shall be light. May they and may we each be prepared for that great day of death and a vast eternity. Oh, that we may be sheltering, dear Lord, in thy wounded side, till all the dangers of life and of death be overpassed. Oh, do prepare us, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must thy work perform, for it is all of grace. Lord, who bless this corner of thy vineyard, we thank thee for all thy goodness and mercy to them. We pray, if it be thy holy will, there may be many called by grace even in this village, and brought to cry out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Oh, may there be yet many throughout, Lord, this land brought to flee to thee for refuge. And may there be an awakening, Lord, of many sinners round to come and fill the place. And we pray that thou would add precious souls to the church, such as should be saved. May those that love thee be constrained, Lord, to show the world whom they love and whom they serve, to follow thee in thy sweet commandments and ways. Lord, do remove all that hinders, that there may be those enabled to say, as Abraham's servant did, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Lord, thou canst remove every hindrance. And Lord, we pray that there may be those too enabled to say, hinder me not, ye much loved saints, for I must go with you. Lord, the power's thine, and may it be so in our own flock and throughout Zion. We long for a gracious revival, a blessed building up. Lord, the power's thine. And oh, in mercy do look upon us in the nation. What can we say, Lord? We have forgotten thee, as thy word declares, even this whole nation. And Lord, thou didst say, and oh, that we may be brought continually to remember what thou dost say, if ye rebel against me, I will rebel against you. Oh, that there may be from our Queen downwards a real turning to the Lord, and that this land once again may be a nation that truly fears thy holy name. Oh, turn us, Lord, and we shall be turned. Save us and we shall be saved. Hear the cries and groans, we beseech thee, over those that cry and sigh over the abominations done in the land. And leave us not, Lord, to further depart from thee. Oh, we beg of thee to appear. Thou hast promised, I will work, and who shall let it? And may thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And O Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless our Queen and the royal family too, and may they be truly taught of thee. And remember all we would and should pray for, and those that need thee, and persecution and oppression and sorrow, we would commit them all to thee. We would praise thee for all thy great mercies in providence and in grace. And we seek for a heart to love and praise thee more. Now do anoint us, Lord, with heavenly oil, that we may be thy messenger in thy message this night. And do touch our lips with that live coal from off thy heavenly altar. May we not just beat the air or spend our strength for naught, but oh, may thy word be applied with divine power. Hear us now in heaven, thy dwelling place, when thou dost hear, forgive, and help us, Lord, to sing thy praises, and bless them to us each, and guide and direct the deacon in all the affairs concerning thy cause. We ask thee to pardon our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 238. With melting heart and weeping eyes, my guilty soul for mercy cries. What shall I do, or whither flee, to escape the vengeance due to me? Hymn 238.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to Luke's Gospel, chapter 9 and verse 23. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 9 and verse 23. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 9 and verse 23. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." What a mercy it is if we are given grace to take up the cross that the Lord has laid on us. And I want us help to begin there this evening, because the Lord does lay on each of his dear people a cross. Sometimes it's a heavy cross. Sometimes it's very painful to carry. But how can they take it up? Well, not in and of themselves, but under the blessed help and grace given by the Lord from heaven. And when he gives us this cross to carry, then we shall need many things. And I just want to name a few. Firstly, to be submissive to that cross. And if you want the pattern of that, how to be submissive, you look at the dear Lord Jesus himself. Oh, that wondrous pattern that he set forth of sweet submission to his Father's will. He knew there was no other way that his bride, his church, could be redeemed and saved from all her sin and the solemn consequences of sin. But he must take up that cross and go to Calvary. But oh, you look at the submission there was in him. Wonderful thing to be given the grace of submission. I often think of that beautiful word that James spoke in his epistle, "Submit yourselves therefore to God." And oh, the great need of submitting ourselves, isn't it? You know, dear Job, we mentioned him a little this morning, but you think of the submission that was given to him to bear that cross that he had to carry, of many losses, many crosses. Another thing that you will need to bear the cross will be patience. Heavenly patience. And I love that verse, I often quote it, and it's very real to me. I remember going to Stone Chapel back in the 1970s, the late 1970s, and I was in a very low state in my health, and many things weighed me down. "Dear Mr. Cornford, preach, for my times are in thy hand." And I shall never forget how he quoted that beautiful verse. And may the Holy Spirit apply it to us this evening. Where the hymn writer said, be patient and steady and wait on him still. And oh, I felt the Holy Spirit so applied it to me, the need of patience. And you think of all what Job had to walk through, of that great cross he had to carry, but how the Lord gave him patience. You read it in James' epistle. You've heard, he says, of the patience of Job. And it may be in carrying the cross the Lord has laid on you, you have to beg every day for patience to bear it. And then we think too of not only submission but of patience, but sweet resignation to the Lord's will. It seemed to drop in very sweetly in thinking of the word just before we came here this evening. I think it's dear Annie Steele's hymn where she was given that wonderful patience and resignation to the Lord's will. And she says, Father, whate'er of earthly bliss thy sovereign will denies, accepted at thy throne of grace, let this petition rise. Give me a calm, a thankful heart, from every murmur free, the blessings of thy grace impart, and make me live to thee. Oh, you read it and when you get home, the reality there is. And then she goes on, let the sweet hope that thou art mine, my life and death attend. Thy presence through my journey shine, and crown my journey's end. And oh, that wonderful patience and submission and resignation to the Lord's will she was given. And it may be tonight you have got these crosses, and we think of many in Zion, you know, not only older ones, but many of our young people that have got heavy crosses they have to carry. We think of our beloved friends in Sussex with their dear little babe and the affliction that's upon it, and what a cross it is to carry. But you say, Jesus said here, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. You see, it's not just something you will put on one day a week with your best clothes. It's a daily exercise, a daily burden, a daily concern before the Lord. And the great need of the Lord to give us that grace to lie passive at his dear feet and know no will but his. But then too, to bear this cross, you cannot bear it alone. You need the Lord to be with you in it. His presence, you see. And if you can feel the Lord is with you, carrying that cross, enabling you to bear it, that'll make all the difference. It'll make sometimes the very bitter part of it sweet. Oh, it will. The hymn writer said, didn't he, may thy presence be my stay. And you say, I have laid this cross on you, so you have to stay upon him, lean upon him, put all your hope and dependence upon him, poor soul. And it has a weaning effect too. It'll wean us from ourselves. It'll wean us from this world. It'll wean us in all confidence in the flesh. But what I was going to come to was this. You know, it's not all sorrow in this cross. There will be the joy. When we think of what I quoted this morning, whatever cross lies at thy door, it cometh from the Lord. And the Lord will give you times where he'll favour you with such sweetness in his presence being with you and the help of heaven and his upholding, sustaining grace that you'll be able to praise his holy name. Oh, you will. You see, really, it's like we hinted at this morning regarding the Apostle Paul. The Lord will balance it. Oh, he will. There'll be the cross on one side, but there'll be the blessing in the other. That in it, he'll bless your never-dying soul. So you can cheerfully, I name that rightly and reverently, and joyfully bear the cross. You know, the dear Saviour did, you may say, but look at the agonies he endured upon that cross at Calvary. It is true, and don't let us ever forget the great agonies that he endured. But what does the Apostle Paul say concerning the dear Redeemer? And may we lay it to heart this evening. The Apostle said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy was set before him. And you see, if the Lord leads you to view a little of the dear Redeemer, why he lays these crosses upon you, is to bring you to view a little of the cross that he endured. And that's a wonderful place, you know. The world won't know anything of it. The natural man in religion won't know. But the real child of God that has to walk it out will be led to look away from the cross they have got, though it may be painful and hard, to what he endured. The cross that he bore. And that's a sacred place to be brought to. You'll be so melted to consider the great cost of your salvation. And it was all borne by the dear Redeemer. What he endured, the hymn writer said, no tongue can tell, to save our souls from death and hell. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We think too of that beautiful hymn. You know, it's we sing it, and the more we read that beautiful hymn, to know my Jesus crucified, the more precious it seems to come to one's poor heart. We sung it at the Lord's Supper the other day, and it's a very precious hymn, but there's this verse seemed to drop in before we came here this evening. And may we lay it to heart. It qualifies really what I've tried to set before you. Lord, may I bear my every loss, be patient under every cross. Never may I my Saviour blame, though I'm despised for his dear name. Thus make me willing, glorious Lamb, to suffer all things for thy name. At last be where my Jesus is, and rise to everlasting bliss. Well, as helped, I want to look a little at this last clause. Not only will you have the cross to take up, poor soul, but there's this sweet commandment. It is a clear commandment to every child of God. And don't any of you think tonight it means somebody else. Let us all lay it to heart, and I preach it to myself. Follow me. Simple words drop from the lips of a precious Jesus. Follow me. May we each be real followers of a meek and lowly Jesus. You look around in this land and throughout the earth, there are many followers of false gods. There are many followers of men. There are many followers of the devil. But how many are real followers of the dear Lord Jesus? We named this morning how the Lord spoke to Simon Peter and the other disciples that were fishermen, follow me. And we named Matthew too. And what do we read concerning them? Well, firstly, to follow him, they got to leave all. Oh, they had. We read concerning Matthew, or Levi, as he was called. He left all and followed the Lord. Many say, oh, but we can't leave this, and we can't leave that, and we can't leave something else. You know, if we are the Lord's dear children, he'll make us willing, like we've just read in that beautiful hymn, to leave all. And that's a wonderful place to be in. And when we're filled, and only the Lord can fill us with his everlasting love, he'll make us willing to leave all. We read in this same gospel, the Holy Spirit records this. And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me, and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, when he says, hate father and mother, he didn't mean it in a hatred sort of way. He meant willing to leave them. You know, the day's going to come with each of us when we shall have to leave all our loved ones, all our possessions. The richest man in England and throughout the world, when the hour of death comes, will have to leave it all. Or they will. But oh, to be made willing to leave everything for a precious Jesus. You see, the Lord is a jealous God. He will have all the sinner's heart. Oh, he will. He must have. The apostle in writing to the Colossians said that in all things he must have the preeminence. He must be first. I was reading the experience of a dear lady the other day, and, you know, in her early days, the Lord brought her to this point. What should be first in my life? Is it myself? Is it my occupation? Is it my loved ones? Or is it the Lord Jesus? And the Lord brought her to the place where she had to say, it must be Jesus only. That's a wonderful place. You know. He must be first. We sing in the hymn, and it's a desire and prayer that Christ must be first, and Christ be last, and Christ be all in all. Now, where do we stand in this tonight? Are we real followers of a meek and lowly Jesus? Has he made us willing to leave all? You see, when he spoke to Peter and those fishermen, follow me, they didn't have to consult each other or consult those around them. Well, shall we follow him? They left all. Such was the power of the word that he spoke to them, follow me. And that's a wonderful place, you know, when the Lord makes us willing to follow him. Well, let us look at this in a few ways has helped. Follow him. Follow me, he says. So go back to Elijah on Mount Carmel. He put to all those on Mount Carmel this searching question. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And of course, Elijah's prayer was wonderfully heard and answered. And he proved to them who was the living God in Israel. The Lord sent the fire down from heaven, who was the living God. Now, who are we following tonight? Why halt ye, he says, between two opinions? You see, we've got an old nature that would halt and would say this and say that and say something else. But, you know, they had to come to the place where the Lord was their God and they had to follow him. And many, you know, were brought away from following Baal to follow the Lord. And this following of the Lord can be looked at in several ways, but I seek the Holy Spirit's leading because of time this evening. But I want to set before you what he would have set before you. Firstly, to follow the Lord in his sufferings and his agonies in the Garden of Gethsemane and at Calvary. You know, those dear disciples and the dear godly women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the Mother of Christ, and Salome and others, you see, they followed him, and those dear disciples did, in all his agonies and sufferings. We know they couldn't endure with him not even 1 hour. So intense were his sufferings. But they were real followers. Oh, they were. And you know, if we are real followers of the Lord, we shall want to follow very close to him. Oh, we will. Our old nature, when it creeps in, will say we will not have this man to reign over us. Unbelief creeps in and we're backsliding and wandering from the Lord. We're not following close, are we? But you know, those dear women, dear John, the dear apostle who leaned upon the Lord's breast, you know, they were real followers. And they followed him because they so loved him. And you know, the more we know of the love of Christ in our poor hearts, the closer we shall follow him. There have been a few godly saints we've known over the years, you know. They followed so close to their dear Redeemer. They lived so close to him. Oh, they did. And I often think, if only I had a little of the religion they had that followed so close to their dear Redeemer. Now, how close are you following, and how close am I following? Well, the Lord's the witness. We know, and I would faithfully set it before you, we read concerning dear Simon Peter, and he was one of the choices of the disciples, really. But you see, he got an old nature that wandered from the Lord, didn't he? And we read concerning him, he followed the Lord afar off. And you know, sin creeps into our hearts, unbelief creeps in, the devil takes full advantage, and we're far off from the Lord, aren't we? The psalmist knew it when he said, "Be not far from me, O God." And how often the sinner has to mourn because they seem so far off. Oh, they would follow close. Well, may it stir us each up tonight and stir one's own heart up, that we may be close followers of a meek and lowly Jesus and not follow afar off. But oh, to follow him in his sufferings, his agonies. You know, if we have a little glimpse of those things he endured, it'll melt the sinner's heart. Oh, it will. And you'll have to say, "Lord, but do help me to follow so close, to be near them." And your prayer will be not far from me, O God. You want to be near him, you see. And close to him, clinging to him. But then, oh, to follow him by living faith. You know, there are times when the Lord hides himself from his dear people. What do we read in the Psalms? "Thou hidest thy face and we are troubled." And when the Lord hides himself from his followers, they are like in the times when you're in a fog naturally. And in a fog, you can't see far, can you? Or like if you're in a plane and you go through the clouds, you cannot see. And you see, there are many times when some affliction comes upon us, some trial, or some loss, and we're in a dark place, and we cannot see the Lord's appearing, and we have to follow by faith. Oh, we do. It's a venturing upon the Lord, sink or swim. Think of what the hymn writer said, when thy eye of faith is dim, rest thou on Jesus, sink or swim. And our faith will ever enable the sinner to venture to follow their dear Redeemer and follow him by faith, venturing upon the Lord. The old preachers used to say that venturing faith, and I often think about it, is the strongest faith. Oh, it is. Venturing upon the Lord. I remember in my early days in the pastorate at Ashwood, a dear lady said to me after a service one Tuesday evening, she said, "Well, I feel the time has come where I must venture to follow the Lord in his sacred ordinances." But she said, "You know, it's a venture of faith." And I've never forgot how she said it. It's a venture. And she ventured upon the Lord, you see. She'd had the exercise for many years. But now the time had come, she felt she must venture. Venture on him, venture wholly. Oh, to follow him by faith. I love that verse of the hymn, "Always keeping Christ in view, and he will bring you safely through." You know, there are times when you can keep him in view, aren't there? But when you cannot see him, clouds and bends in the journey, things come in the way and you cannot see him, venture upon him. He will not fail, you know, them that venture upon him. I venture to say this every time I stand up to preach, as I venture upon the Lord. If he fails me, I'm finished. But he won't fail his dear children, you know, that really follow him. Oh, no. That venture upon him. But then there's a following of him in his sacred ordinances. And oh, what a sacred following that is. We read in John's Gospel, didn't we, that 21st chapter. And there were several reasons, really. We read it together. One particularly was concerning Simon Peter, how the Lord put him to the test, how real his love was to the Lord. And then, of course, after that third time when Peter was so grieved, the Lord had asked him three times, "Lovest thou me?" And then finally, what did the Saviour say? "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me." Now, that wasn't the first time the Lord had said to him, "Follow me." He'd said it many times to Peter before, "Follow me." But what You see, what did Peter do? Immediately, he turns and he looks at John. And there may be those of you tonight, I draw a bow at a venture to mention it, that are looking at this one and looking at that one and saying, yes, but Lord, but what should they do? I remember when, if I may just turn aside a moment, I remember when the Lord had laid the exercise of baptism in my heart, and I remember sitting in Stapler's Chapel, you know, and I looked at this one and that one that were well taught, gracious characters that had never followed the Lord openly in the commandments of his house. But they truly loved the Lord. And my immediate reaction was, I said, Lord, but what about these? Why hast thou laid it upon me? And so I know a little what Peter felt. And we read this. And Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And what did Jesus say to him? Jesus really rebuked him, didn't he? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Oh, how soon we can look and say, Lord, but what about this one and that one? May we never be left to get in the judgment seat over it. But to be obedient to the command. And the Lord, you see, rebuked Peter, and he commanded him to follow the dear Redeemer. Follow me. And then, of course, you see, on the day of Pentecost, as Peter so faithfully, this Peter that had said, Lord, what shall this man do? The Lord so brought Peter and made him willing to follow in his commandments, his ways, and then, of course, to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And on that day of Pentecost, you look how many, under the ministry of dear Peter, as he preached to them this precious Jesus, had to follow their master. The Lord removed all the hindrances. Now, your cross may be, and I must be brief, but your cross may be a public prayer. You may say, oh Lord, but this is a cross. How can I venture to follow thee? Let him take up his cross. They're not my words. They're what the Saviour said. Let him take up his cross. Take up that cross, poor soul, and follow him. And then your cross may be how to speak to the Lord's dear people. Oh, I'm slow of speech. Moses said it, didn't he? And of a slow tongue. The Lord said, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Follow me. And then, oh, we think of those that made excuse. We read it in the chapter, didn't we, this morning, in chapter 9. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus saith unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said to another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus saith unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid farewell to them which are at home, at my house. Jesus saith unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, whenever I read those words, I think of a dear man, the late Mr. Lewis, that was a worthy. You know, the dear man said when there was an oldish man baptised at Worthing, he said to the dear man, he said, You've done something I can never do. This is what Mr. Lewis said. But you know, the hour came where the Lord so blessed the dear man. He was so full, he felt, well, I must venture to follow the Lord. But the devil crept in, unbelief crept in, all the hindrances the devil set before him. And he said to the Lord, Lord, I can never venture with all this. And the Lord spoke to him these words. No man, having put his hand to the plough, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And the Lord so applied it to the dear man, he said, as soon as the service was over, he went straight into the vestry to tell them he'd have to venture. You see, there's no going back. Maybe one here, the Lord has said to you, follow me. You obey it, poor soul. There's no going back. Jesus said, they're not my words. No man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Oh, to be made like the eunuch was in the desert, willing. You see, the Lord, and I preach from it, and I baptise my dear wife and another lady, those beautiful words in Psalm 110. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And when the Lord makes his dear people willing, they run in his delightful ways. He'll remove every hindrance. It's like I prayed in prayer, and they're beautiful words, really. What the servant of Abraham said when he went to seek a wife for Isaac, he said to Laban and Bethuel, Hinder me not. Why? Seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. What did the eunuch say? See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptised? You know, the Lord will ever honour them that honour him. Oh, he will. They that honour me, he says, I will honour. And he honour every true follower of a meek and lowly Jesus. Follow the Lamb, we read in Revelations, whithersoever he goeth. And as the Lord goes before you, poor soul, like he did before Joshua, leading the children of Israel, As he goes before you, you follow him whithersoever he goeth. I preach from that at Ely when we were baptizing service there some years ago. Follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Not where we want to go, but where he goeth. Well, I've scratched around the surface. May the Holy Spirit sweetly apply this to us each this evening. May we be given that grace to obey it. We read, don't we, Paul said to the church of old, be ye as obedient children, not disobedient children. Obedient children, obeying exactly what the Lord says, doing his will, his commandments, and they that do shall live. Amen. Dear Lord, do come over the poverty of our poor, feeble attempts. Do bless thy own precious word. Do make us each real followers of a meek and lowly Jesus. Do be with us now as we separate and forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, the divine comforter, rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.